during our time of worship about the protection, the provision that we have in you. We want to thank you for the incredible love that you have shown us, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, you came to die for us. God the Father, that you sent your only Son to die in our place for sinners like me, for sinners like us. God, this is love that Hollywood could never write about, that the best authors try to attain to the heights of. And we thank you that we have experienced it. We found it in you. Thank you that you found us. And God, we pray that this morning you'd be powerfully at work in every heart that can hear the sound of my voice, that you would lead us deeper into your purposes and your plans for us as individuals, for families, for this community that we're living in, for this great city of Nairobi. And everyone said, amen. Great. Well, if you are new here, I want to add my welcome to the welcome that you've already received. My name is Bonisi, and I'm part of the leadership team here at One Tribe. And I do talk quite fast, I've been told, so try and keep up. But in case you miss anything, we've got a PowerPoint up on the screen, and everyone should have in your hands. This is a Vision Sunday, and so everyone should have one of our really cool vision booklets in your hand. If you haven't got one, please put your hand up, and our welcome team will get one to you. Anna at the back has not got one of these. Can we get one to her? Is there anyone else who hasn't got one? Just keep your hand right up until it comes to you, and one will come. Inside your vision booklet, we've got a vision slip. It says "Say Yes" at the top, and that's a bit of a reference to last week, which is on iTunes. If you wanna listen to that message as well. But we started off last week, the first of our two Vision Sundays, last week and this week. We started off by telling the story of a guy who was walking along. You remember this guy from last week? And he meets the first guy and he says, "I'm laying a brick." And he meets the second guy. The second guy says, "I'm building a wall." He meets the third guy. And he says to the third guy, the same question he's asked the other two people, "What are you doing?" First guy, laying a brick. Second guy says, "I'm building a wall." The third guy said, "I'm building a cathedral." And we said that the third guy had the big picture of what he was involved in. And so last week we painted a big picture of what God has called us to. And this week we're going to, last week was going big, then this week really is about getting specific. So last week we spoke about how Jesus' last words were that we should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, all that I've commanded you. And he said that, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you, he said, all of the time, even to the end of the age. So that's a big picture, a big vision. It doesn't get bigger than that. All nations for all of time, obeying all that Jesus has commanded. And we said, you know, that's so big. That is scary big. It could make you want to put that in the category of, you know, that would be a really nice thing to do if it wasn't actually impossible. And we spoke last week about how even a company like Coca-Cola that had a vision that no one would die without tasting Coca-Cola has gotten scarily close to realizing that vision in a very short span of time. And how many of you know that a big vision without a plan is just a daydream? And so we got to have a specific plan for if this is where we are, what are the bricks that we're going to put in place as we build this cathedral? If we want to be a part of God's plan for all people, for all of time, obeying all that Jesus commanded, we spoke about that last week. This week we want to talk about what does that look like in 2017, September, October, November, December, for you and me in Nairobi. And we finished off last week by talking about how Jesus called one of his disciples, Peter, into the game. When he met Peter, Peter's name was actually Simon. And Simon was a man who encountered Jesus. And when Simon encountered Jesus, everything changed. His occupation changed, and his name changed. He went from Simon the fisherman to Peter, fisher of men. And if you look on the screen, you'll see that there'd be a humorous side to that. if they had business cards in those days. Here's your order, sir, 1,000 business cards saying Simon the Fisherman. Later that day, Simon, from now on you shall be known as Peter. What I love about Peter is that as we track his journey, his discipleship journey, what I love about Peter is that in his most immature moments, in his worst moments, he's a bit like I am and like you might be in your most immature moments and in your worst moments. Peter, at his worst, he's arguing about who'll be the greatest disciple. He's rebuking Jesus and telling God how to be God. He's even denying Jesus in Jesus' hour of greatest need. But Peter, in his best moments, God in Peter is absolutely awe-inspiring. He's getting up on the day of Pentecost in the middle of the city of Jerusalem, preaching Jesus, whom you crucified, he says. 3,000 people, the Bible says, are saved and added to the church that very day. As Peter walks through the streets of Jerusalem, the Bible says that his shadow is healing people as he walks past. Before the end of this morning, we're going to see how he's hauled in front of the authorities of the day, and they say to him, "You have filled this city with your talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Please stop it." How do you get from zero to hero? And what I love about Peter is that as we track him, every one of us can learn something from Peter about his discipleship journey. As a church, we can learn things from Peter about his discipleship journey. And his journey started off by getting engaged. And we've kind of taken this as our theme for 2017. What do we want to achieve during 2017 towards that big vision? We said, well, if by the end of this year we had an army of believers who are engaged, empowered, equipped, and excited, then we may be a couple of steps closer to what God has called us to. And this week we're going to be looking at the first E, which is about being engaged. It's the first step for every Christ follower. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20 says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake," because they were fishermen and that's what fishermen do. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. It all starts with you and I deciding to follow Jesus. Wonderfully, since launching One Tribe on the 22nd of January this year, we've had 15 people respond to the invitation of the gospel. Jesus commanded us to baptize believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on Easter Sunday, we had the joy of baptizing 10 believers. Here's a short video clip that gives you an insight into some of what God is doing in Nairobi in our days. The second person speaking on this video, his name is Nixon. He's one of our Kenyatta University students. And the first person speaking is a friend of ours called Oscar. Here it is.
Hi, my name is Oscar. Well, I'm glad today I accepted Christ. It's been something that really has been with me in my heart and really wanted to confess and accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And I've done it today. I've even been prayed on and I've asked the Holy Spirit to be with me. And I'm glad, I'm so happy. Hallelujah, I thank the Lord.
And I decided to give my life to Christ and I got baptized at One Tribe. And that was like a turning point in my life because I got to really commit myself to Christ and it's been the greatest experience ever.
I'd love to encourage every one of us. This is the first thing we're talking about, engaged. I'd love to encourage every one of us to get more engaged in what God is doing. A few questions for you. Are you a follower of Jesus this morning? If not, you can become one today. If you're not sure whether you've given your life to Christ, you can become sure today. And I and our leadership team here would love to pray with you after this meeting. And if you're saying, do you know what, I want to seriously find out more about following Jesus, we have an amazing book for you. It's called Get Started. And it's our gift to you. If you're interested in that, please get to the information table straight after the meeting. We'd love to put this gift in your hands. But some of you are thinking, do you know what? I am a follower of Jesus. And the Bible makes it so clear that after becoming a follower of Jesus, the next question is, have you been baptized? Baptism is a potent symbol of the new life that we have in Christ. It's an opportunity to publicly declare, I'm a follower of Jesus. But not just that, we believe that as we act in obedience to Jesus and get baptized, we know a new working of God in our lives that is very special and very powerful. And our last baptism was Easter Sunday. And our next baptism, if you haven't been baptized, then please sign up for our next baptism on Sunday, the 1st of October, and you can sign up using the vision slip. So this is where the vision slip comes in. Can everyone see your vision slip? And it says, say yes at the top. That means just whatever Jesus is saying to you, please say yes. And there's a box there that says that you can be baptized on the 1st of October. If you tick that box, put your name at the top and a way of us contacting you, and you get that to the information table afterwards, we can let you know about the next baptism. Because we want to be a group of people who have engaged with God's vision for us. One of our hopes is that this Vision Sunday would help you to feel more a part of One Tribe and to get more involved in One Tribe. If you want to get more involved in One Tribe, one of our best next steps for you, if you haven't already, is to get to one of our newcomers' lunches. What happens at a newcomer's lunch is a bunch of us get together around a meal to share with you some of the church values and give you an opportunity to ask questions if you'd like. Now, like Calvin said during the notices, the next one is actually this afternoon, but don't worry, there are a couple more coming up soon. And the next newcomer's lunch is on the 26th of November. Please sign up for that on your vision slip. Get it back to us today. We want to plan well for you so that we can serve you well. Now, one of the things we saw earlier about Peter is that as he got engaged, it changed his life. We joked about the business cards, but we said, you know what? It affected the way that he viewed his fishing business. It affected the way that he viewed himself, and actually his name changed. And as we become followers of Jesus, just like it impacted all of Peter's life, it should impact all of our lives as well. On the back of the folded A4 booklet that you've got, you can see an overview of one important area of church life and of our personal lives, and that's finances. And when we look at these finances, everyone got that back page? So everyone knows what I'm talking about. Right over here, up on the screen as well. When we look at these finances, two things happen. The first is, we are so thankful to God for his provision to us as a church and to the people in this church. We were singing this morning, all I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that's certainly our experience as a church. Two things happen. The first is we're so thankful to God for all that he's provided. The second thing that happens is we are so thankful to you, One Tribe, for your generous, committed, and sacrificial giving that has allowed us to get to where we are today. One of God's prophetic words to us as a church was that we'd be marked by plenty and abundance, and God has been such a faithful provider. Now, what this picture shows is that in January, February of the year, as we launched and started public Sunday meetings, we had a lot of expenses, which God wonderfully provided for. And then for really the first half of this year, our expenses were ahead of our income, which wouldn't be unusual for a new church that's starting up. wonderfully, our testimony is that in the last few weeks, really, our income has caught up with our expenditure, and now our income is slightly ahead of our expenditure. And again, that's because of the generosity of people in this room and in this church. Now, you can see that for March until July, there was a gap. And the financial minds amongst you may wonder, well, how did that gap work? And the way that it worked was by a handful of one tribers who believed in the big picture, the vision of what God has called us to, a handful of people extended themselves sacrificially and said, you know what, we're going to cover that gap. And when the church is able to pay us back, then the church can pay us back. And we're a spiritual family, and we want to carry that load together. And part of this getting engaged is getting engaged with all of our lives. And as we do that, we're inviting you to, if this is your spiritual home, and if this being a part of One Tribe has been a blessing to you, we want to encourage you to give generously, because we need that black line to keep on going up and to the right so that we can relieve the pressure of people who've given sacrificially thus far, and so that we can start doing so much cool stuff. Just last week, we met with a group of 25 church planters wanting to start a church down the road. And I sat there and I told them we're going to pray with you and we'd love to visit you and help you. Let us know what we can do as you start this new church just down the road in Nairobi. And I'd have loved to be able to say, and by the way, we'd love to give you 100,000 shillings, because we believe in new churches starting in Nairobi. Nairobi needs new churches. And we had a fantastic Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago, where we focused on Micah 6 verse 8 and the church's role in meeting the needs of the city. And we had a wonderful guy called Oppy preaching to us that morning. And to get involved in a more meaningful way in terms of what God is doing in the city. We're already doing stuff, and I don't have time to share all of that. But as we want to multiply that impact, multiply that ministry, we really want to get to a place of not just a financial sustainability, but a place of financial strength. Ah, but let me be clear. When God talks to us about money, he's not so much interested in the money as he is in our hearts. Did you know that? So this isn't a money conversation. This is actually a heart conversation. Where do I get that from? Matthew 6 verse 21. Jesus said this. He said, listen, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One Tribe, we need to put our hearts into this vision. And one of the best ways of doing that is by putting our treasure into the vision. Do you ever hear something Jesus said and thought, you know what, I'd have said it the other way if I was Jesus? None of you have those "if I was Jesus" conversations in your head. That's a good thing. I don't either. but I'd have thought Jesus would say, hey, listen, where your heart is, there your treasure is. But he said it the other way around. He said, listen, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, because actually our hearts tend to follow our treasure. What does that look like? Well, I'm reminded of the story of a guy who was hiking up country. And occasionally as he hiked up country, he'd come across a wall that was difficult to get over. And he'd think, shucks, do I go, you know, am I strong enough to climb? But I really want to get to where I'm called to that vision of what I had when I started. But there's this big obstacle in the way. And I don't know if I've got the energy. I haven't had breakfast this morning. Can I make it over this? And here was his trick to get over every single wall. He said, what I do is when I came up against a wall, I took my favorite hat off my head and I would throw it over the wall. And I knew that to get that hat, I was going to get over that wall. See, because he understood that where his treasure went, his heart would go. And that's kind of the way it is with our finances. And one of the things that we do, Tash and I, is every single month to help us keep our hearts in the kingdom, one of the first things we do is put our treasure into the kingdom, because you know where our treasure is flowing, there our hearts flow also. Let's put our hearts into this vision. Let's put our hearts into what God has called us to together. One last word on engagement. Then we're going to move on to our final E's, which are a little bit shorter. One area that we need to work on at One Tribe is our life groups. And we've got another clip of a couple of people who've enjoyed being in a life group at One Tribe, and that's coming up on the screen. Is that okay? Thanks, Taylor.
This day we were invited by someone into their home, and then they tell us we could come every Wednesday, and then he comes for us and takes us to his home. Then we basically have fun and read the Bible. The fact that they're human people, they're human trying to live the faith. And initially it made me get rid of this perception that faith is different from real life. The life group has been a great part in terms of my spiritual faith, and it has helped me to start living and also taking this initiative to read the Bible and trying to understand God more at a personal level.
I have so many friends here, and I have met new people, and they mentor me through spiritually and even through life, and I get to hear their part of the story, and I feel awesome and I feel blessed to be part of them.
Great. Don't take it from me, take it from our friends Eric and Danston. And what they were saying, the sound wasn't very clear on that clip, we apologize for that, but what they were saying is that for them, one of the most meaningful things about being part of One Tribe has been being in a life group. And this is really important you understand this. We had a great discussion with our leaders this morning, and we were talking about what is a healthy church. And one of the things we said is that healthy things grow. Now, I understand that not all growth is healthy and so on, but the reality is healthy things do grow. And part of that growth, the focus of that growth, we trust, is unsaved people coming to Christ. Now, if we're growing, we want to find a way of, as we grow as a church, not just getting bigger, but also getting smaller. I think, how do you do that? How do you get bigger and smaller at the same time? Well, as our Sunday attendance grows, which it is doing, the reality is that if we want to keep on making deep and meaningful relationships as a church, which is the foundation of who we are, then on Sunday, as we grow bigger, during the week, we want to get smaller through life groups. And it's in life groups that we can get to know people and that people can get to know us. It's in life groups that every one of us has an opportunity to share what we're going through. Every one of us can get prayer every single week. Every one of us can have someone to call when we're going through a tough time. Every one of us, when we're in the hospital, can have someone there within a heartbeat. All of that happens through life groups. And so the vision of One Tribe isn't necessarily big buildings, flashy lights, but it is obeying Jesus, and as we do that, churches will grow. And as that happens, we don't let go of the things that are important to us, and life groups is vital. So you can see One Tribe, the numbers speak. You are good at coming on Sundays. Give yourselves a hand. You are not yet good at life groups. Here's one of the things you've got to understand about One Tribe. Don't look at the snapshot of where we are and say, that's it. I know that we paint a picture, we paint a vision of a church where everyone is connected in a life group, and we have people from every single tribe in Nairobi. And what happens is people look at the snapshot of where we are now and say, but you're not that. And we say, yes, that's why it's a vision. It's not a statement of where we are now. It is where God is taking us. And so One Tribe, this is the direction that we're going in. And we have a half dozen wonderful life groups that you can choose from around the city. And we want to multiply life groups. And I'm excited to say that in the next couple of weeks, we're starting two brand new life groups. One is in the Runda area. The other one is in the Red Hill area. If you want to hear more about either of those life groups, please talk to the information table afterwards. If you want to hear specifically about Runda, please speak to Jamie and Sarah. Wave so they know who you are. Great, Jamie and Sarah, today or whenever you can. If you want to hear more about what's happening in Red Hill, please talk to me or talk to Tash, and get into a life group. And if there's no life group near where you are, hey, listen, let's start one. But relationships, growing together in Christ, praying for one another, caring for one another, those are non-negotiables for us, because that's what we find in the book when we look at church. That's the first and biggest E. That's we want to get everyone engaged in what God has called us to. But we also need to be a people who are not just engaged, but one of the key moments in Peter's life as he followed Jesus is he was also empowered. What did that look like? Well, check it out. In John chapter 16, here's what's happening. Peter's been following Jesus, and Jesus says, okay, it's time for me to go. And you would think that Peter's spiritual journey would take a dip when Jesus goes. But Jesus says, actually, no. It's for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the counselor, that by that he meant the Holy Spirit, won't come to you. But if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Even though Jesus ascends into heaven, Peter's ministry took on a new fruitfulness and effectiveness because Jesus kept his promise. He sent the Holy Spirit. What did that look like? Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they, that's Peter and the rest of the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, let's not kid ourselves. To do what God has called us to do, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have some great leaders in our church, but we live next door to Muthewu. And when I think Muthewu and us together, we're going to do great stuff for Jesus. I look at Muthewu, and I think we need the Holy Spirit. And Muthewu looks at me, and she thinks, we need the Holy Spirit and lots of prayer. How does God give power to a bunch of people like you and me? It's by filling us with his Holy Spirit. Here's one tribe's story. One tribe's story. There you go. Of one lady who was, well, she'll tell you what happened. Her name is Wambui. She's a wife, a mother, a doctor, and a Christ follower. And this is just a brief snippet of her story in the last few months.
Within this community and within this family, I have come to personally know the Holy Spirit. And my life is changed because of Him. And in this year, since January, I have come to learn a lot about the Lord and a lot about Jesus. And I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, which has not happened before in my life. And God has mercifully given me a gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues.
Praise God from whom all
I praise God for One Tribe and for the literal family that I have.
Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Is anyone else getting excited about this? Is anyone else excited about the fact that in Nairobi, people are coming to Christ? That young men and women are being baptized as a sign of commitment to put Jesus first in our lives? Not just that, but people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lives are being changed. That is why we exist as a church. And Wambui was talking about one of the events that we are inviting you to as we are on this Peter journey together, and it's called Thirst. Thirst is a power-packed morning of learning about and encountering the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, why would I want to do that? We want to do that because we're not going to do what Jesus has called us to without the power of the Holy Spirit. We called it Thirst because it's for anyone who is thirsty for more of God. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice one day, if anyone is, what's that word? Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were elated to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But friends, the good news is that now Jesus has been glorified. And the Holy Spirit is available for anyone who is thirsty. I want to encourage you to get along to our next thirst. You can see it on the Say Yes slip. The next one is on the 11th of November. And please sign up for that if you haven't done it yet. But being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just, and if you're thirsty, if you're not thirsty, maybe put it on hold. But being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just a once-off event. The Bible tells us to continually be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. A Spirit-filled church is a praying church. And we want to get stronger and stronger in prayer as a church. And that's why we meet every Sunday morning from 9:15 to 9:45 for our O2 prayer meeting. We call it O2 to remind ourselves that prayer is as essential to our spiritual well-being as a church as oxygen is essential to our physical well-being. So if you want to learn how to pray, and I hope you do, and if you want to grow in your prayer life, and we hope you do, come to O2 and let's grow together. Two E's down, two to go. The third E is equipped. Can you nudge the person next to you and say to them, equipped? Make sure they're awake. And I am looking for my iPhone, which helps me keep time. If anyone knows where it is, please bring it to me. I would appreciate it so, so much. Okay, so Peter, he was engaged with Jesus and he became a follower of him. He got empowered by God's Spirit. Thank you so much. And Jesus equipped Peter. That was part of God's making Peter a fisher of men. And one of the classic examples of that is the day that Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, get this, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, I stopped the story there. I think Peter wouldn't mind us stopping the story there because the rest of the story is somewhat more dramatic. Because Peter was the first water walker after Jesus, but he also became the first wet water walker. You know, Peter made mistakes, but he knew that the best way to get equipped for what God has called us to is to just get involved and give it a go. Get stuck in and get involved. Listen, One Tribers, no one is born a spiritual giant. The story is told of a tourist who arrived in a small town, and there's an old man sitting by the side of the road. The tourist says to the old man, as tourists do, were any great men born in this town? Without skipping a beat, the old man takes the pipe out of his mouth and says, "No, just babies." Peter became a spiritual giant, but he wasn't born that way. Yes, he ended up as a big shot, but you know, big shots are just little shots who start shooting and keep on shooting. One Tribe, get involved. Allow yourself to make mistakes. And as we do that, God matures us and grows us into his vision for us. At One Tribe, we want to be an equipping church. We want to help people on their growth journey. As part of that, we wonderfully had a half dozen couples attend our marriage course to get equipping for godly marriages. And we had over 30 people attend our healing and evangelism school a couple of weekends back. Hopefully, a number of you have felt equipped as we've gone through Sunday message series on hearing the voice of God, God's amazing grace, answering Nairobi's questions. We want to be an equipping church. But I've just said that one of the best ways to get equipped in One Tribe is to dive in and get serving. Wonderfully, we've had 54 people serving in one of our Sunday serving teams. That's pretty good. I think that's worth giving yourselves a hand for once again. That's over half of our adult Sunday attenders. But we don't want to stop there. We want to recruit about another 30 volunteers. 26 maybe. To help us get there, two Sundays from now on the 8th of October, we're going to be holding our first ever ministry fair, which is going to be your opportunity to get into the game. If you're not yet involved in one of our Sunday serving areas, we want to invite you to get your hands dirty. And if you're in a serving area that hasn't been a great fit for you, then this ministry fair is your opportunity to sign up to try for another serving area. No strings attached, no questions asked. We don't mind where you serve on a Sunday, but we would love to be a church where everyone is serving. It says each of us does our part that we become the body that God created us to be. A while back, my wife Tashinga and I, we were on a game viewing drive. How many of you have been on a game viewing drive? And we're going through this game viewing drive, and the tour guide, he's pointing out the animals to us, and I don't know what you're like, but we just have to believe everything the tour guide says, because we know nothing about what they're saying, so we just believe whatever they're saying. And this tour guide, we're going through, we're seeing the nice animals, and then we get to a wildebeest. And as we get to this wildebeest, our tour guide says, that right there is the quarter to one animal. Well, that begs the question, why is the wildebeest called the quarter to one animal? And our tour guide went on to explain to us that when God was making all of the animals, he got up one morning and he made the giraffe with its lovely, long, slim neck. And then next he made the elephant with its amazing trunk. And then he made the hippopotamus with its thick skin. And then he looked at the clock and it was quarter to one, almost lunchtime. And he had all these spare parts left over. So he threw them together and out came a wildebeest, the quarter to one animal. We are not a quarter to one animal. Church. God's word says this. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I know a lot of the time you've heard that verse, it's been applied to you personally, you are God's workmanship, just like I am God's workmanship. I'm not saying that's not true, but as it's said in Scripture, the primary application is actually that the body of Christ is put together person by person, piece by piece, by a God who has an end purpose in mind. What does that mean? It means that no one is here by mistake this morning. And it means that one tribe isn't just this conglomeration of people who kind of, for random reasons, all end up worshiping in the same place. But as you come, and the person next to you comes, and the person next to you comes, and you bring someone else next week, God's body is being fitted together in an incredible design. The book of Romans says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Part of your equipping journey into what God has called you to is getting your hands dirty and getting involved. Someone said of football, Premier League football, they said this, that football is 22 people on the field, badly in need of a rest, being watched by 40,000 people in the stands, badly in need of exercise. Let one tribe not be a church with an abundance of spectators watching a bunch of people badly in need of a rest. Part of one tribe, part of the kingdom, part of following Jesus is saying, I want to serve as part of the picture of what God has called us to. You have unique ideas. You have unique gifts. We need every single one of them. If together, in the power of God's Spirit, we're going to get to where God has called us to. So one tribe is, get into the game. Sign up this next ministry fair. And if you have ideas, don't be quiet. Bring them forward. Talk to one another. That's how God forms us into the body that he created us to be. What are our three E's? Number one, engaged. Number two, empowered. Number three, equipped. Number four, this week where we're going to land, is excited. Engaged is follow Jesus, get baptized, give generously. Empowered is get to a thirst if you can. Get along to our weekly O2 prayer meeting. Get equipped is get to our ministry fair. We'll train you on the job. And lastly, get excited. This last E, excited, is the purpose for all the other E's. The reason to get engaged and empowered and equipped isn't so that we can all stand and say, look how engaged I am. Or look how empowered I am. Or look at how equipped I am. This last E, excited, is the reason for the other three E's. We get engaged, empowered, and equipped so that the city of Nairobi can reverberate with the name of Jesus. That's what's exciting about where Peter got to. In Acts 5, verse 28, the authorities say to him, Peter, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Could the church be accused of this in Nairobi? In Acts 17, I think it is, the Apostle Paul, he's hauled in front of the authorities and the people. I think it's a crowd that's shouting, those who have turned the world upside down have now come here. How many of you know that we're in a world that desperately needs turning upside down? How many of you have watched the politics over the last few months? How many of you have been watching what's happening in the UN? And whether you're looking at Kenya, at Nairobi, or New York and the United Nations, you think, God help us. But God's answer is the church. And it's about a church that's transforming lives, transforming families, transforming communities, transforming whole cities. This is what gets me excited. This is why I get out of bed in the morning. Because I think, man, if we could be a part of God's plan in our generation, how awesome would that be? Martin Lloyd-Jones summed it up beautifully. He was talking to a bunch of Christ followers, I suppose, like you and I, and his plea was this. He said, listen, we are saved not merely to escape hell, but so that we can be a people who will astound the world. Acts 5, fill Jerusalem with this teaching that is astounding the world. Acts 17, turning the world upside down, that is astounding the world. Friends, I think that Nairobi has yet to see a church that will astound the world. And I'm not talking about us being the pinnacle of God's work in Nairobi. I'm saying as we pour ourselves into it and CTAM pour themselves into it and Nairobi Chapel pour themselves into it and the Baptists and the AIC, and as we do this together, together we can astound this city, together we can astound this nation, because that is what God has created us to do. You say, wow, I want to be a part of astounding the world. What do I do? Get engaged. Put your heart into this. Get empowered. We desperately need the Holy Spirit if we're going to astound the world. Get equipped. No one's born great, but God makes us great in him as we get our hands dirty and we're trained on the job. That's what discipleship means. And then, man, it's exciting because then you get into astound the world territory. It was done 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And in our generation, we get to do the same. And we will do it. Not because you're good looking. Not because we got nice musicians. But because God has said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Just like the waters cover the sea. Shall we stand together? God, our prayer this morning. Let's stand and pray. Let's get the band up. God, our prayer this morning is that you would move in our hearts as we enter this next few months as a church together. God, we want to thank you for the journey so far. We want to thank you for numerous responses to the gospel. We want to thank you for healings that have been reported. We want to thank you for marriages that are being restored. We want to thank you for people being filled with your spirit, empowered, knowing a new gifting in you, a new authority in you. And God, we say, would you do more of the same? God, whatever the next step is for each one of us, I pray that you'd speak it so clearly. Baptism, life group, giving, getting equipped, getting serving. Jesus, our hearts are saying yes and amen to you this morning. This is our love response to you, King Jesus. Jesus, I'm saying sign up this morning because you love me first. God, thank you that no matter how much we can give of our lives to you, we're giving to one who first has given to us. Jesus, as we dream about fulfilling your commission to us, as we plan intentionally to fulfill this commission, God, we want to thank you that we do it in the shadow of the cross. We want to thank you that we do it in the shadow of one who gave it all. You held nothing back to create a people who would astound the world. And God, we want to be a part of that world astounding people in this great city. God, we want to thank you for the various ministries at work powerfully in this city, the various churches powerfully at work in this city. And God, we ask that you pour your spirit out on them and on us so that Nairobi would be different, that the politics would be different, that corruption would fall in the name of Jesus, that the police department would be purified by a flood of the Holy Spirit, that the economics would be turned upside down, that streams of living water would flow through Kibera, that Kibera will become known as a place that was desolate but is fruitful in you. God, we pray that crime rates would go down as your gospel transforms hearts. We pray that children who have no access to schooling would get access to schooling as we obey all that you have commanded us to do. God, what could be more exciting? God, you've called us to this at such great cost to yourself. Thank you for what you've invested, the blood of your son, in each person who can hear the sound of my voice. Friends, the way we're going to close this morning is we're going to close by taking communion together. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a couple of songs, and while that's happening, Kelvin, if you could maybe just lead us through that communion process. Our ushers will be sending around bread and juice. It's not wine if you are worried about it being alcoholic. And we're doing this now because we want to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. But not just that. Communion is a powerful symbol of the togetherness that we have as the body of Christ. His body was broken so that we could be one. It's Kelvin, Sam.
Okay, wonderful. The juice and the bread is being passed around. Let's sing the first song while it's being passed around.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became earth, poor as you did. Many times I've wondered at your gift, and I'm in love once again. I'm in love.
take it together in a moment. If you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, then I encourage you, don't take the cup and the bread today. Rather take Jesus. Rather put your faith in him for the first time. If that's you, then we'd love to pray with you afterwards. Come up and speak to me, or Bernice, or Sean. And we'd love to lead you in a prayer of respect. But communion is something that we do together as a community that of believers, of people who put our faith in Jesus. And so Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken. Do this in remembrance of me." So together, let's eat the bread.
Sing together, you're the God of the city. You're the